Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Franchise Interviews on this Saturday, April 5th, 2008. When Franchise Interviews was celebrating its one-year anniversary show, we put a lot of thought into whom we'd like to have as a special guest for that particular day, and that person was George Nadeff, who is truly a legend in franchising. And this is part one of a two-segment interview, so enjoy. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, Asking the Entrepreneur Who Owns One. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed about owning your own business, then this is a show to listen to. And today we have a very special guest, Mr. George Nadeff. And good morning, George. Welcome to the show.
Good morning to you.
How are you doing today, Mr. Nadeff?
Well, I'm in New York City where it's raining, but other than that, it's a sunny life.
There you go. It's raining here, too, in Pennsylvania. So, Mr. Nadeff, joining us is my co-host, Don Johnson, and I think you know Don.
Hey, Don. How you doing?
Good. I'm doing great, George. We really appreciate you coming on the show. Marty and I have been looking forward to this for a few weeks, and I mean, your career has just been amazing. And you know, I was just thinking, right before the show started, has anybody written a biography about you yet?
Well, I've been threatening to write one now for about 50 years. When I decide to sit down and with a couch and a glass of wine, one day I'll probably pull that off.
There you go.
I'll be the first one to buy that book.
Absolutely. Same here, Mr. Nadeff. I thought, Mr. Nadeff, a good place to start off is to ask you how you got involved in franchising, because you've had such a tremendous career.
Well, I must tell you, I started off as a franchisee. After spending about 17 years in sales, I decided I wanted to own my own business. This would be back in 1967 when I would say Kentucky Fried Chicken was the hottest franchise of its time.
Right.
And I had heard about it, read about it. I enjoyed the food. I decided to check in on it, and I acquired the exclusive rights for the Kentucky Fried Chicken brand for the greater Boston area. And that started in about 1967 as a franchisee.
Wow, that's incredible. So I guess you've met the Colonel, Mr. Nadeff.
Oh, he was a wonderful guy, and he attended a couple of our openings and did his thing. He was a man totally dedicated to his franchisees, I must tell you, a real solid individual.
That's fantastic. Can you tell our listeners what companies you've been involved with in franchising over the last...
Well, I guess it would obviously, as a franchisee, I was with Kentucky Fried, and then, of course, I started a company called Living and Learning Centers, which was the first childcare chain east of the Mississippi. From there, I went into something called VR, Business Brokerage,
right,
which listed and sold businesses throughout the United States. We had about 600 offices nationwide.
Wow.
We also were the first company to ever sell other people's franchises through our brokerage offices, and we ended up with about 48 different quality franchises such as UPS,
right,
Stained Glass Overlay, Alpha Graphics, Sylvan Learning Centers. Literally in those days, a proliferation of quality franchises at the time, and we were one of the first to deliver products to individuals through our brokerage offices. And then, of course, I was involved in the big and highest IPO in the history of Wall Street, the Boston Market, which started off as Boston Chicken.
Yeah.
And that became a brand that is out there today with over 700 units. And I did something called Adventures in Advertising, which was an entity that sold the jackets and logoed material to corporations. We had over 400, 500 franchisees in that business. And, of course, my latest venture, which is called No Fat Lifestyle Grill.
That's right, yeah. And that's why they call you the guru in franchising.
Well, I've been called other things.
Well, you know, so, George, I guess KSC really got you motivated, seeing how, you know, successful, how fast that grew, just the whole concept of the, you know, of franchising. It really seemed like that catapulted you to really, you know, branching out and, you know, having that entrepreneurial spirit and getting into these, you know, other franchises. I mean, it's, you know, pretty diversified from food to childcare, to business brokerage.
Right.
I mean, that's, I mean, interesting how
it's
so many different brands.
You know, in life, you go through a journey, and you end up with a specialty that clings to you, and then you become part of that because it's who you are. I have always looked at opportunities in a way that I think has been a little different than most people. I tried to get in on things that are cutting edge in the beginning, as opposed to some things that are also-rans. I like to get in on things that I think are timed properly.
Right. Well, I think you've done that. I mean, you know, child learning is so big now in the franchise industry and growing. I help finance and work with a few different companies, and you know, VR is the largest. You know, Boston Market is one of the top chains out there. So it's just incredible what you've done. George, what are some of the biggest changes that you've seen in franchising over the last 25 years?
I would have to say, honestly speaking, the explosion of different services. I think today a good third of franchising is in the service industry. That can be everything from the internet to maid services, lawn services. I mean, anything that can be a service that people need. I mean, you know, people at work need to have people come in and do things, I mean, for their houses. I mean, it's an incredible variety of different opportunities, whereas way back when, in the beginning, it was mostly in the food segment.
Right.
But today, I would say it's a broad, everything that is possibly a good opportunity to make money is probably franchised today.
Right.
Absolutely.
Have you gone to any of the franchise shows recently, George, the last couple of years?
I usually attend a few just to get a flavor as to what's out there. I like to keep abreast of especially the new ideas that are just out. It's amazing. There's an explosion, and anyone that is seeking to change their life instead of working for somebody should certainly attend these franchise shows and listen, of course, to companies and radio talk shows such as yourself. You're doing a great service here, guys.
Thank you. Thanks, Mr. Dave.
Thank you very much. You mentioned the biggest change in franchising. Martin, I've tried to bring that across in our first year doing the shows. We've had a lot of different services in the franchise industry as well as a lot of different types of franchises. So that's part of our motivation in doing the show,
right?
Because the franchise industry is growing so much, so many different types of franchises and industries, and so it is exciting. And what's been the most interesting thing that's happened to you, George, since getting involved in franchising? You talked about all your history. There must have been a few interesting things along
the way. Well, I guess the daycare movement for me was the most important in my life. I've done a number of things that made, you know, considerable sums of money. But when I did the daycare thing, it was unique for me in that I'm not a college graduate. I barely made it out of high school. But what was important to me was I was doing something for society and making money at the same time, and providing daycare facilities that were educational way back in 71 was revolutionary.
Right.
And I guess if I had to pick one thing of all the things that I've done that I could say that would allow me to get into St. Peter's Gate would be the daycare thing. I really enjoyed doing that from a personal point of view.
And that was Mulberry Child Care is what you...
It was Mulberry and Living and Learning Centers. And, of course, the help I gave the Sylvan Learning Centers at the time, I was a director and one of the guys that helped launch that company.
Right, you built that to what it is today, which is one of the leading franchises in that market. But it's interesting. I mean, you know, why child care? I mean, did you just see a lack of service? Is it just something personal in your own town or what you went through personally to think, hey, this can
be
done?
Yeah, quite honestly, back in 71, the movement in daycare was not happening as rapidly as it is today, of course. In those days, maybe 15% of the workforce was made up of women. And I had a child that at the time was speaking total Greek, and I had to find a facility for him to have social interaction. And I looked around, and I didn't like what I saw. There were church basements and family daycare where you wouldn't put a dog, let alone your child. And I found this one facility in Waltham, Massachusetts that was called Green Acres, and it was around for 40 years, and it was well-known and had a waiting list of some 200, 300 people. I met the owner and convinced her to take that waiting list and work with me on opening up a school similar to the one that she was running. and that started the company called Living and Learning Schools. So it was really a situation. I saw an opportunity. The women were going into the workforce. The timing was perfect. Today you have over 60, 65% of the workforce made up of women, and that, of course, is a question of timing. The Boston Market situation was one that took advantage of women that needed a meal before they could put something before the husband when he came home from work. So they had to run to a Boston Chicken, Boston Market store, pick up a meal, and put it on a plate when the family got together at night. So again, it was a question of timing. Everything is a question of timing. And today, of course, we have an obesity issue across the country where 365,000 people die each year. So we are providing through NoFat a restaurant that is offering healthy fare with all of the nutritional values printed on the menu so people know in advance what fat, protein, carbs that they're putting into their body. So everything in that I do, quite honestly, guys, is always connected to something that's on the forefront.
Right, trends taking place, absolutely.
Yeah, just so entrepreneurial, George, like getting back to the child care. Is this how you were, you know, at a young age too, 8, 9, 10 years old? Were you always thinking of, you know, how to make money? Or that really come on as you were getting a little older?
Well, no, believe it or not, thank God, my father made me a shoeshine kit during the Depression, and I had to get out there and hustle and bring in some bucks to the family. Little did I know that a lot of my friends started asking me, what did I get the shine kit and how did I get to make money? It was only a few dollars a week, but in those days it was a lot of money.
Right.
So my father would make some shine kits and I would teach the kids in those days how to go and shine shoes. Little did I know I could have been franchising then.
There you go. Well, Don and I consider Mr. Native NoFat another visionary idea of yours. Can you talk a little bit more about that, like the history of the company?
Sure, sure. It's a company that was started by three bodybuilders who have the physiques of Arnold Schwarzenegger. They just are handsome-looking and devoted their entire life to physical and mental. They just started a supplement company that just sold supplements, and one day one of the three guys who was a chef at Harvard Business School found out that the space next door to their nutrition store had opened, was available. They decided to open up a restaurant. And, of course, not just a regular restaurant, but a restaurant that would serve healthy food as well. So the two-in-one concept was born. They opened up a restaurant called Low Fat, No Fat. And before you know it, all the gym people brought their girlfriends. Their girlfriends brought their parents and friends and girlfriends. And it became a cult in the Boston area. It was located in Watertown, Massachusetts. More and more people began going into this facility. And then one day I was driving by and saw this long line outside of the restaurant. And being the serial entrepreneur that I am, I decided to get into that line and find out what it was all about.
Wow.
And I got into the restaurant and saw that here was a restaurant that was serving food that people normally ate every day, but the food was prepared in a healthier manner.
Right.
For instance, if you wanted a burger, you wouldn't just get a burger laden with all the fat. You would get a bison burger with lean cheese, turkey bacon on a whole wheat bun.
Wow.
And if you wanted your fries, they didn't have a fryer in the store at the time. They were air fried, so people could have their fries and still not have the trans fats. This was back in 4 years ago, and they had been in a business already for 6 years before that. So I got enchanted with the concept. I saw that people were lining up for it and made a deal with the owners, and that launched the company, which is today called You Food Grill. Feel great, eat smart.
That's fantastic. It sounds a lot like the story of Ray Kroc going into McDonald's, Mr. Native, in California, you know, seeing a line and kind of being curious, you know, and saying, wow, let's take this idea and franchise it, except this is a lot more revolutionary, you know, it's healthy for you.
Yeah, and of course, you know, you got to be careful about getting into lines because sometimes you get in the soup line.
That's true. Oh, geez. How would you describe the NoFat franchise system to somebody, Mr. Native?
Well, we are kind of unique in that we search for people that have had restaurant experience. and because we feel that gets them up to speed real quick. So our tendency is to seek individuals that have been in the restaurant field. We give them 5 weeks of intense training at our university in Boston. And, of course, when they're ready to open their facility, which is about 2,500 square feet, it's typically in a strip center. We don't go and build buildings from the ground up. That's rather costly. I'd rather go into strip centers that are available. You can get people in business in 3 months. The training is very extensive. Typically, the franchisee would bring three people. They graduate, and then when they're ready to open their store, we send a team of four people to open up the store with them for a period of 2 weeks. We'll stay longer if necessary, but typically that's the way we get things launched properly. We teach them the nutritional side of the business, which is also very important because we do about 25% of our business on the supplement side. So what's unique, you not only have a restaurant that earns the classic restaurant markups, but nutritions and supplements and vitamins, you have a higher markup. So when you have a two-in-one, you really have an opportunity to sell the consumer twice while they're in the restaurant. It's very similar to, say, Cracker Barrel that has a gift shop in front of their restaurant, and a lot of people have to go through the gift shop before they get to the restaurant. Rainforest Cafe is another entity that sells retail as well. So an entity that can have two things under one roof is not a bad idea.
Absolutely. I totally agree.
Well, you mentioned timing, and of course timing's everything, Mr. Native, so I think you did it again here. I love the dual concept of retail and restaurant, and I think it's going to be, just like with everything else you've done, give it a little bit of time. I think it's going to be successful across the country. And is that your goal, I guess?
Yes, we've already franchised across the country since that's the way I do things. We've opened stores, in Naples, Florida. That's a rip-roaring success. And just recently in Roseville, outside of Sacramento, we have a franchisee out there that's bought an area license agreement for 10 units. He built his first unit about 2.5 months ago. He's already looking for his second unit. We've sold territories in Miami, Houston, San Francisco, Phoenix. So we're entertaining prospective franchisees from all over the country.
Wow, great. And although this is on the unique side, how big is the industry for...
Well, I will compare myself with the food industry, which grows approximately at the rate of, 5% a year.
Right.
People have to eat. They have to eat breakfast. They have to eat dinner. They have to eat supper. I mean, people today are eating more outside than ever in their history because of the two families that have to work. And when they drive to work, they want to get a cup of coffee at Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts or McDonald's with the Egg McMuffin. And at noon, in our business, for instance, we have over 55% takeout at noon. This is remarkable for a restaurant because people want to grab their food and go back to their offices and get to their computers and emails and voicemails. We live in a society that's on the move, and they want good food fast.
Right. I know with my wife and I, we have twins 3.5, and I guess this will start happening with you, Marty. Sometimes you just get tired of washing the pots and pans and cleaning up or making a meal, and it takes a while, and my wife's
right.
all stressed out. So we love to just, it's so much easier, just go pick up some food, and bam, boom, you're done.
Well, especially in your case, Don, you also help people, I believe, get into the business by offering them SBA loans and getting them into business. And that, I think, is an exceptional opportunity for people that are looking to get a jump start and need a little help.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed being in the franchise industry because that's over 95% of our business. And there's times people can't get financing locally, and we help them out and get them approved or, changing people's lives. And
yep, you're providing a great service, and I know that more and more people should know about what you do.
Yeah, well, I appreciate those comments. And, yeah, we're, growing as well, opening up other offices. People need help in this area. The bank's very inconsistent. So, we're enjoying what we're doing. I look forward to, doing more work with your company. So, talk a little bit, Mr. Native, about the characteristics that make a successful no-fat franchisee?
Well, you know, I've always told people to play to their strengths. If you have a personality you know is not a charming one, don't get into the service business where you have to interact with people, because people business requires personality. So, you know, you're not asking someone to do something that's against their grain. So when looking for a franchise, a person should consider the things that they've succeeded in. For instance, if they've been a coach of a soccer team and they had to inspire the kids to run down that field and kick that ball and win, there's something about that individual that is inspiring. So he should look for something that maybe can be along those same lines, that he can use those talents of his. If he's been a teacher, he's been a person that's worked with his hands. In other words, always, always play to your strength. Don't go into something that's opposite of your personality. That will cause a little bit of a problem. Of course, most companies offer training, but you know, if you put a glove on, it should fit neatly in between the fingers. It shouldn't be something that once you put the glove on, you can't bend your fingers. It's as simple as that. So when you're buying a franchise, it should fit.
And I guess no fat specifically, you have a checklist you go down that you want each franchisee to be, or sometimes it's just having a feeling of a certain person.
It's clearly a financial issue. They have to have, in our case, pretty close to the ability to finance something between $500,000 and $600,000. So if an individual can't do that, then maybe he should look for other franchises like a Subway or a Quiznos or other that are around the $200,000. So again, here we talk about fitting something that fits their pocketbook and not get into something that's way over their head and put themselves in financial jeopardy by starting something that is too hard for them to overcome. So again, it should fit their wallet just like it should fit their personality.
Right, absolutely.
And you've, of course, been involved with so many franchisees with all your different businesses that you've done. Have there been times over the years that you sort of took a chance on someone that you weren't really sure, but you really liked them, and it's worked out? I'm sure you have a couple success stories.
There have been those cases. And again, there have been the opposite. And again, you learn by doing the thing. I would much prefer to tell a person that he's not qualified than qualified. And the rationale behind that, of course, is that I don't want to get somebody into something that he's not qualified for. There are so many franchise selections out there that if a person is doing their research, it allows them the opportunity to really, really take the time and investigate. And most of these companies already have franchises in place. They can pick up the phone and call up the franchisee and say, "How you doing? What kind of work did you do before you bought this franchise? Tell me about why you chose it. Would you do it again?" I mean, this is a great opportunity, as opposed to starting something on your own where you don't know whether you'll ever get the first base. You know, franchising in the beginning is very much like a baseball game. If you can buy third base as opposed to getting to first base, and getting to first base by starting your own business, maybe you'll get the first base, but there's no guarantee. But if you can buy a franchise, you at least can get the third base. That's good baseball. And, you know, when you get the third base, your chances of getting home is a lot easier than being on first.
Wow, that's a great analogy, isn't it, Don?
Yeah, and it sounds like you're a Red Sox fan.
Thank you very much. And a Patriots fan, and a Celtics fan.
There you go.
I wasn't in Boston College until a couple of weeks ago. They lost the last two games.
Yeah.
But Boston is the sports capital right now with the Patriots,
sure is.
Best teams, and the Red Sox win the last two out of four.
Yep.
So it's probably good times for you, Mr.
Well, it's exciting, and what it does to the city, of course, is bring enthusiasm, and
right.
People, when they're in a positive mood, they can accomplish positive things.
Absolutely. Right. Mr. Native, we have to take a quick break. Can you stick around for another segment?
Certainly.
That's